Well, hey, it's everyone's favourite On The Ball soccer podcast. This week, me, Gio, West and Mark talk about Gareth Bale finally moving to Real Madrid. Daniel Sturridge gets a match winner for the second week running. Wayne Rooney, is he finally going to Chelsea? Kabay refuses to play for Newcastle as Arsenal make a £10 million bid. Tevez scores for Juventus and Bundesliga news. It's all On The Ball soccer podcast. Welcome back to the On The Ball Soccer Podcast here at the London on Greenville Avenue. A quick shout out to two of our awesome bartenders, helping hands, beer dispensers, food dispensers, however you want to mention them. We have Callum from Leicester in England, who's not a Foxes fan, no. He's an Arsenal fan. Poor guy. Who we're about to... But we dedicate the next part of the show to him because we'll be talking about Arsenal. Two marks don't make it right. Mark,
yes,
the other bartender.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do. Thank you very much, Mark, for pouring us our beverages and serving my food. Listen, I just want to say,
yes,
I had the corned beef hash and eggs. It was fantastic. I was going to get the ribeye hash, and he said, "You know what? Try the corned beef."
He was right.
It was really, really good. I could have had another one with some hot sauce on it. That's all it needed, some heat. But I know you Brits don't necessarily go with. We like it boiled, please. So I just want to say, hey, the corned beef hash, fantastic. Mark and Callum, wonderful. Thank you very much.
Corned beef hash is the cat's meow today.
Yeah.
You're getting me hungry. I want some bacon. On to Arsenal, Callum's team. First of all, Yohan Kabay. If people don't know, last Monday before Newcastle played, they played Manchester City, right? And they got spanked. Arsenal, they played horribly. Oh, Newcastle. Awful. Morning of the game, Arsene Wenger bids £10 million. Pounds, obviously, to Newcastle for Yohan Kabay. He's refusing to play. First of all, on him, forgetting the Arsenal bid, what kind of thing is this for a player to refuse to play? I mean, we had it with Carlos Tevez when he refused to come on as a substitute in the Champions League against Bayern Munich. But what kind of thing is this for a player refusing to play?
I think... okay. We don't really know if he refused to play. What they put in the or what I read rather was that they didn't put him on the squad on the pitch because they didn't know where his mind was going to be. And you know, I can't blame him for that. I think it's a crappy thing to do the morning of a match.
By Austin.
But it's the transfer season, so. Really, the timing of it does not matter. I think if you're a professional, you work for your employer. The name on the check is who you work for. And it doesn't matter if you've got another job tomorrow. Your job is to do your job, and that's it. So I don't understand them not playing him because I would have kicked his ass. That's how I feel. I mean, United is potentially looking at a bid by Chelsea for Rooney. I love reading that he may start. It's his job.
You know, Rakesh is probably saying, "God damn it, I'm Mark always talking about Manchester United on this show. God damn it." No, but you're right.
So I think as September 2 is the end. Of the transfer, it doesn't matter. It does not matter if it's before a match. It doesn't matter what the timing of a bid is. If each party recognizes that one party has a job to do until they're actually sold, then that's it. So I mean, I can see both sides of it, of that, but I still think the dude had a job to do. He's still a Newcastle player. Do your job. So,
West.
I mean, in my opinion, there's ways to justify what they did. Oh, it's transfer window. Oh, it's coming down to the last minute. But still, I mean, they could have waited 3, 4, 5 hours till after the match to do that. And I mean, he is a professional, but things can affect. I mean, only the greatest of athletes can go weather all storms. Can just block it out and just get to business. And that's what separates the great from the good players. That's something that could affect his mindset the morning. I mean, a move to a bigger club, Arsenal, their history and the love for that club and the size of it compared to Newcastle at the current time. It could affect how he's thinking. It could affect his mindset. I mean, he probably was asking questions, and it's probably more they were like, you know, we don't know where he's at right now.
Right.
Like, he was probably asking questions, and it led them to believe, okay, he's not match ready right now. I mean, he'll go out there and he'll play and he'll be good, but he won't be at the level that he would normally play.
But we're talking about Kabay. Is he a player really Arsenal need or not?
Pui. That's a big question.
Because I would argue.
And generally, I mean.
Go ahead.
I would say probably not. I mean,
agree.
One of those things where you mention his name, his skill set, and you're like, oh yeah, he's going to improve the squad immediately. So when it's a need, you'll know it when you hear it and you see it. I mean, with him, you're kind of like.
I mean, you look at that midfield. You have Arteta. You have Wilshere. You have Oxlade-Chamberlain. You have Walcott.
Cazorla.
Cazorla. They have, oh. They, oh my goodness, yes, Rikisha's going to hate me. the guy that they, next Patrick Vieira, he's always injured. People should be guessing at home.
Sanya?
No, he's
Paul
a right
Pogba?
Back. No, not Paul Pogba, although there have been links with Paul Pogba. I knew his name, Diaby.
Oh, yeah.
I was just trying to see if people could guess.
He is always injured.
He is,
and that's
unfortunately.
Really unfortunate.
Okay, he's a great player.
Yeah.
But yeah, you don't think Kabay, well, A, I think 10 million is a bit of an insulting offer in this transfer market that is right now in the bubble. I mean, before.
And with how much money they have.
Yeah. Before, okay, fair enough. But he's not the. I would have thought they needed a better goalkeeper or a better striker or defender. I mean, Mertesacker and Koscielny.
Well,
leaves a lot to be decided. I mean, in the long term, which is the next point. Arsenal win. After that loss 3-1 to Aston Villa, and we spoke about the podcast, almost like a crisis. It was the shortest crisis of all time, apparently. go to Fenerbahce Champions League qualification. They win very comfortably. Giroud looks very good. Podolski looked very good. And then they go and they win again. I mean, is this... You know, I remember Kevin said last week, he said, it's only one game.
Yep.
Which in my mind, I was saying, yeah, it's only one game, but... Arsenal, you know, okay, they had a fantastic end of last season, but they sucked.
There were big stretches, yes.
Right, last season. So this is a running, and this is several years running problem, right, for Arsenal. I mean, are we impressed? I mean, the last two wins, it's great that they beat Fenerbahce. I mean, but you think if they were to come up against the Spurs, Man City, Man U, you know, one of the big teams, do you think they would lose and then the whole crisis starts up again, or...
It's one of those things. I mean, they're a real classy side. They have tons of talent all over the pitch. But, I mean, it was against Fulham. How impressive was
coming,
the win?
Coming from a Chelsea fan, that really hurt the Fulham.
I mean, they're going to beat. Well, I mean, they're an upper echelon team in the Premier League. So they're going to beat most teams, but when they come up against the really, really tough teams, that's when they become exposed.
Right. When they have a run like Villa had, when they have a run of big clubs like Villa had, will they have the same scores that Villa had? That's the question.
I think that's a fantastic point because people will say, wow, Arsenal, they just won their last game, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, well, in real honesty... All allegiances with our teams aside, Arsenal should beat Fulham. We should expect
them
to beat Fulham.
Yes. Especially considering what we said about Fulham either a week or 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Where is Fulham going to end up? And we're all of us agreed on the bottom third of the
league.
Yeah,
just so, below 10th place, basically below it.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, of their two games so far this year, the shocking score is the 3-1 loss.
Okay. Yes.
3-1 win is. Yeah, that's what Arsenal should do.
And the Villa match showed their weakness in the middle of the field.
But Kabay won't plug that hole. Do you think he's the wrong player to plug that hole?
Well, I think that Kabay, actually PSG was.
Well, that's the latest rumors that they're going to blow Arsenal out the water. Yes, £20 million bid for Kabay.
Yes. I think that Kabay is more of a in front or behind the striker player rather than. And I think Cazorla and Arteta we pushed behind them. So I don't think that he would be competing with Cazorla and Arteta. I think that if anybody, he'll compete with Wilshere. Mm. So will he achieve or would he do for Arsenal what they hope he's going to do? I don't know. I would be going more for a striker that is
proven quality.
Well, Dzeko. I don't like City that much, but I love a whole slew of their players. And if Arsenal had a striker like him, they'd be scary. What? If Arsenal had a striker like Suarez, they'd be scary.
Well, I asked Wes this. I mean, this recent transfer story, Benzema. I mean, could Arsenal? I mean, Wenger came out this week and said, possibly Benzema or Di Maria, and then he also said, our bid for Luis Suarez is really dependent on Real Madrid buying him. You know, whether Real Madrid are going to want to spend any money after spending $86 million on Bale. Can you see Benzema going to Arsenal?
How do you buy Benzema from Real Madrid?
Yeah, exactly. When he's, one, doing well.
Yeah.
Higuain has left.
Yeah, that's
well,
what I'm saying. They just
yeah,
let
exactly.
Higuain
but
go to
but
Napoli,
that's so Madrid's. I mean. That's Madrid's thing. Benzema would be looking at, well, I'm probably going to be playing even more now at Madrid. Why would I want to go to Arsenal? For probably a lower paycheck. I mean, there's way too much stuff that says no to that deal.
Definitely less trophies.
Oh, yeah. Where's the championship? Okay,
ouch.
Well, I may not or I will play in the Champions League. I may not or
well,
I will.
I
may very well not win the league, or I probably will win the league. there's nothing except money that would actually have him go to Arsenal.
Can I play devil's advocate? Because my next question was, why, and it's a very legitimate question to ask, why is it really seeming difficult for Arsenal to bid for players or to attract players to their club? Well, they've beaten Fenerbahce now, so it looks like they're at least in the group stages of the Champions League. They have I've been there many times. Beautiful arena, the Emirates. Although the atmosphere, in honesty, if anyone has been there, a little left to be desired. More to do with the ticket prices. B, it's in the centre of London. You have a lot of tourists. Obviously, tourists don't know the songs of the team, blah blah blah. So the and the way the stadium is built, kind of releases the atmosphere. So the atmosphere isn't the greatest at the Emirates, but it's a beautiful new arena. What, 2005, I think it was built. They say on where Highbury used to be, the old stadium, they had all the we say in England flats, y'all say apartments. They've sold them all on Highbury, so. Great place in London, so they have the money. Wenger, despite 8 years without a trophy, still very highly regarded as a coach. I mean, why can't a team like Arsenal, you know, here a great example, why would Luis Gustavo join Wolfsburg instead of Arsenal? I mean, what's wrong with Arsenal to really attract great players? There must be something, surely.
Okay, I thought you said.
Go ahead.
I thought you said you were going to play devil's advocate.
I am playing devil's advocate because I'm. Look, people know I'm not an Arsenal fan.
Oh yes, you are.
Okay.
I mean, you didn't advocate very well for Arsenal. I mean, yeah.
No. I'm saying
the
flat,
they because the flats are sold around the
no,
stadium.
No, I'm saying
because
they
the stadium
they,
looks
no,
nice, that, but the atmosphere's bad.
I'm saying they have a great. They have a nice stadium, very modern. They have a fantastic manager. They have the money because they've sold these apartments and flats, right? They're in London, which obviously is very attractive. They're in the Champions League, despite, you know, whether Fenerbahce pull off a miracle, which they won't.
I have a Ferrari in the garage.
Yes.
But I resent paying $3.60 for gas. So I'm not going to drive it to the gas station and put gas in it. But I've got a Ferrari in the garage.
Well, you make it
without
you,
gas.
You make a great point. The point that Arsenal won't push that boat out, that extra million, to get a certain play. Is that the problem?
I mean, I think look, that's okay. The exodus of good players
exactly,
that they have had.
Exactly.
Like, if you've seen great players go other places and do well at bigger clubs.
Okay, two seasons ago, what were we saying about Arsenal, who Arsenal was? It was the Man City feeder club.
Oh, well, yeah.
How many people left? It was like everybody.
It's actually the Barcelona feeder club
with
Petty and Overmars and.
No. But I'm talking about two
Henry.
Seasons ago.
Yeah.
It was everybody that really.
Well, you're
made
talking
a
about Nasri, Kolo Touré.
Yeah. And Clichy. I mean, it was they left Arsenal. Van Persie stayed.
They won.
Van Persie left. He won.
Your point is basically that if we're professional footballers, soccer players, and we see other great players leaving a club
to win something,
you're going to ask why, and then
Why would I go if the last couple of years players have left to go win something?
Gone to bigger clubs.
Why? Okay. Why would I go to a club that other big players have left? Well, I'll make a difference. But nothing else is changing. They're not going after the big established players. None.
They went after a guy called Luis Suarez and a guy called Wayne.
Went
Rooney.
After. Went after. Oh, there's the bus. I'm going to go. Oh, it just went around the corner.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's their going after. Their reputation is any big name has to leave the club to get something. What's the point of going there? I mean, I remember Arsenal being on top and the players that they had and the players that they had wanting to go there. Man. It is not that club anymore, and that's why I really have. It's being an Arsenal fan has got to be so fucking tragic.
I'm gonna leave Wes with the last guest word on Arsenal, if you want, before I give my outspoken opinion.
I mean,
yes,
there's something involved in that. That's that team, that squad, that team, that right now, that club, that is poisonous. There's something there that's forcing players to leave, and it may be something that's not always that's being revealed to the public. But there's something amongst professional football players that's going around that's saying, "This is what the issue is. This is where you shouldn't go." I mean, it just doesn't. I mean, the exodus in the past 2 or 3 years of players leaving, it just doesn't make sense. And it's not that the players aren't able to perform because they're going to other clubs and performing well. So there's, I don't know if it's, maybe it's Wenger. Maybe it's his misuse of players. Maybe he's not building the right combinations and formations for those players to find the most success because they're obviously able to do it at other places. So it has to be something in the club. And it has to be, I mean, linked to the manager. He's too confident in what he wants and not doing what's best for what the players that he has, in my opinion.
I mean, he's certainly showing confidence in even the last press conference. He said after the game, he said basically he had confidence in the current crop of players. To end this segment, well, they've been losing players over the last few years. It looks like Matthew Flamini is coming back. So Arsenal fans should be so excited about a guy that left 6 years ago to come back.
But he's been training with the club.
Yeah, and AC Milan didn't want to sign him again. He's on a free transfer.
They could have used him.
I think, in my opinion, Arsenal's problems started when David Dean left. I mean, he was pretty much the right hand of Wenger. He would go out and be like, "Who do you want?" Wenger says, "I want Henry." Mm-hmm. David Dean went out and got him. Not that David Dean is the saint of Arsenal, the saint of football, but he did the saint of soccer. He did the hard graft. He got the deals done. God knows what happened to Arsenal on a fantastic run. I don't think they'll get Benzema, Di Maria. Let's just put it that way. I think we're probably all in agreement here that Kabay will end up joining Arsenal. Probably more than 10 million. Probably cost about 15 million to get him. But I think, you know, Arsene Wenger, he does, and I know is it Callum?
Yes.
Callum that was here earlier was saying you know, Wenger's most successful manager in Arsenal's history. He deserves credit. And he absolutely does. But at the same time, you know, what Arsene Wenger was doing 10 years ago that was amazing and was so different in the Premier League.
Right.
You know, in those 10 years since, he's been waiting for those apartments. He honestly has. I mean, it sounds trivial, but he's been waiting for those things to sell on the Highbury ground that was there, you know, the old ground of Highbury, so that he could have money to spend on players. But within that waiting time, these clubs have moved on. The competition has moved on. Now you have the oligarchs, whether it's at Abramovich at Chelsea or Sheikh Mansour at Man City. I mean, 10 years is a long time in professional soccer. And it's not just gone 10 years, it's advanced. And I don't think Wenger had, and you can't in many circumstances, you can't predict what's going to happen in 10 years. But we'll see it happen. Arsenal, we still think they'll finish in a reasonable position. Whether they'll overcome Spurs again, we will see. Quick talk on Serie A. I'll let Wes talk about the upset. But Carlos Tevez scores on his debut for Juventus in a 1-0 win.
Yeah, $10 million transfer there.
Not a bad, and you think Arsenal should have bid for him. But anyway, no diss on Arsenal. But anyway, I believe this would be interesting if I'm wrong. The upset in Serie A, I think you were talking about AC Milan lost to
AC
Verona,
Milan
right?
Lost to Verona, newly promoted Verona, 2-1 behind Luca Toni.
Luca Toni, what is he? 36, 38?
36.
Still the prettiest face in Italian soccer, though.
Played for 15 clubs.
Florentina, Bayern Munich, amongst them.
Juventus, he played for Palermo. But yeah, he put in two world-class headers. Mm. After, I think it was, Pauli was set up by a goal from Super Mario.
Super Mario?
Super Mario.
do we expect a... I mean, Serie A, I think we were on the pod a few weeks ago. We were talking about really the Serie A, I mean, really in decline in terms of in the mid-90s it was so popular. But Tevez, Llorente, obviously former Athletic Bilbao, who tore Manchester United apart 2 seasons ago in the Europa League.
Yeah. The new El Nino.
The new Fernando Torres. Let's hope it ends better.
Yeah,
right.
Not looking like it.
But we expect, Juventus to do well.
Yeah.
I mean, I know you, Wes, you want to talk about Inter Milan just a little bit.
Well, I mean, they got to do better. I mean, they finished, ninth last year, thinking about being sold to an Indonesian owner. we were talking about Edtoe. They think there's a possibility
that he might go back to Inter.
He might go out there. But we found an interesting fact that they have the new the ex-manager, Walter Mazzarri from Napoli.
Napoli, yeah.
Is there now. But since 2001, including managers Roberto Mancini, Jose Mourinho, Rafa Benitez, and Gio Pero Gasperini, they have never, the new manager has never won the first game of the season since 2001. And that's that's a pretty stellar list of stellar list of managers who did not win their first game.
I mean, it's tragic for a big team like Inter Milan. Yeah. You think of some of the players they've had. I mean, yeah, whether it's Rocobo or my favorite of all time, Ronaldo.
But Inter Milan, when Mourinho left and Benitez took over, it was Mourinho picked the perfect exit time. I mean, he had that club at the top and down
there.
They dropped.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
he left when Snyder had just hit his peak and Eto'o had left.
Yeah. So it's Italian soccer is in a tragic state. I mean, I've used that word a couple of times, but Italian soccer, that the word that describes it is tragic. I mean, the gambling,
match fixing.
Yeah, the match fixing has just
racism.
Torn that apart. Juventus, I mean,
I was trying to remember. I think it was like the mayor of Milan or something. Was it the mayor of Milan said something to Mario Balotelli to the effect of, the reason that they're being racist or just because of the way you're acting.
Yeah.
I'm like, what? I mean, they're closing down stadiums. They're having to have games behind closed doors. Lazio's game this week, like, I think there's sections of the stadium are closed off.
Well, that's the ultras of Roma and Lazio.
Yeah, and what was it? Was it Balotelli or I can't remember who the player was that said, well, yeah, they were racist. Or maybe it was Pogba. They're racist. Whoever played Lazio, they were racist and they were singing their songs and I don't understand because they have black players on their team. It's like,
wow, that's
so what does that say? Yeah. Are they really racist or is it just to get under the player's skin? So
The word begins with I, and it's called an idiot.
Yes.
So the
downfall of Italian soccer is terribly unfortunate, especially in European football, in the international competitions, because Italian teams have been there for so long. I mean, we all understand what Italian soccer is, and that's get the goal and park the bus. I mean, they've done it for so long, so well, and they've won so much with that. So it's unfortunate what's happening with Italian soccer because it's dropping below France, and it's never. I mean, it was England, Spain, Italy, Germany.
Oh, Italy! When I was growing up, absolutely.
Right.
So, what do y'all think, Napoli or Juventus?
I like Napoli, man.
They got some reinforcements when they let Romagnoli
go. They did some business for sure.
Benitez doesn't get look. Rafa Benitez won the UEFA Cup or Europa League is what it's now, and he won the league, La Liga, with Valencia. If a team other than Barcelona and Real Madrid won La Liga today, oh my gosh, I don't think he gets enough credit than what he really deserves. Napoli, a good team. Reina's in goal. I know he makes a few mistakes. They've reinforced. I know they've lost Cavani.
Yeah.
So have Hamsik.
Yeah, they got Hamsik. I mean,
Marek Hamsik.
He was
sick.
So underrated.
So and underrated.
He hasn't left.
He might.
Well, he's dedicated, dude. He is
Cavani
dedicated.
Cavani was amazing, but he might have been the best player on that team last year.
Hamsik. He's been the best player for several years.
Always a joy to watch. He's one of those players that's what Suarez has. He can turn the game on its head.
Yeah.
Well,
great, amazing facilitator.
I mean, we'll see. Quick question, Wes. Who wins Serie A, Mark? One team.
I'm going to go with Napoli.
Wes?
I want to say Juventus, but I think I'm going to go with Napoli.
I'm going to go with Juventus. So the listeners will know I said Juventus. So when I win, that's fair enough.
It's on record.
It's on record. Quick Bundesliga point as we're going around Europe. Robert Lewandowski, who reportedly, we believe, has signed a pre-contract with Bayern Munich for next season, scored his second goal in three games. Dortmund maintained their perfect start to the season. They beat Werder Bremen. And then Robin and Ribery both scored.
Yeah.
So Bayern Munich, 100% start. Them, Bayern Munich, Dortmund, and Bayer Leverkusen. Three games, three wins, 9 points. Shaping up. I know we're only three games in.
I want to see them play each other. I want to see Dortmund play Bayern, and I want to see how that comes out, because I really like Dortmund.
What you were telling me before the podcast, Thiago Alcantara is injured now.
Yes. Out apparently injured himself in their last match, and they didn't think it was serious at all. Well, he's torn ankle ligaments. He is out for 2 months. So, as a United player, is he going to be one of those guys that's injured all the time? And am I going to be glad that we ended up not pursuing him and putting in $40 million plus £1?
So, wait, what years did you play for Man? What years did you play for Manchester United?
No, he didn't. Man, you just bid for him. He was at Barcelona, and you're kidding me.
No, it was a joke. Well, because you said as a Manchester player. You meant fan.
Well, if he had signed with Man.
Yeah, if he had signed.
Maybe United. I missed that, but it sounded like you said...
Yeah, you can keep that. Don't unedit that at all, because that was confusing as fuck.
Yeah. Yeah, the way you said it sounded like you were talking about... And you were thinking from a France perspective, where you have that he didn't play for Man.
Yes, because if he had been a United player...
Yes,
I would
then
have been
he would
like,
be ninja,
yeah,
but
yeah.
It's one of those
another
things.
Another Anderson.
Yeah, okay, another Anderson. I don't think there's another Anderson in this world. All right,
too much Man U talk. I'm over it.
Rakesh Singh. Yes, we're stopping talking about Man U.
Rakesh, if you're ever in Dallas, Texas,
come on the show.
Look us up. You will
come
be on
the
show.
Yes. And you can speak your mind.
And anyone
we'll
that
follow the outline that you provide for this show, and we'll speak about whatever topics that you want to talk about.
If you go on the Ball Soccer Podcast on Facebook, leave a comment. We'll mention you, like Rakesh.
Good or bad.
Good or bad.
That's right. Yeah.
We want the banter. Good or bad. You like us, tell us how to get better. Tell us what we shouldn't talk about. You might listen. But we're gonna try to do our best. That's what we can promise.
Next week, Mark isn't allowed to talk about Manchester United
at all. He's not gonna want to talk about Manchester United next weekend.
He buys me, Gio, and West a pint every time he says United, Manchester, or in any references.
Or Moyes.
Or Moyes. Cheers, Rakesh.
That's why you wasted. Guys are so drunk all the time.
Wasted.
I guess to end the show, we'll very very briefly, Manchester United, Chelsea play on Monday. Oh, goes without saying, the Moyes, Mourinho, Rooney, blah 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 blah, the whole summer. Go for it. Analyze the game for me. Who's gonna win? Go.
3-2 United.
Why?
We shut down.
By the way, you have 2 minutes. Go.
We shut down the middle. It's going to be Phil Jones somewhere in the middle, taking on everybody that tries to play the ball across. And Van Persie runs the routes. Welbeck is going to take some pressure off, and we're going to put three in. I think Chelsea has two, but we're going to get Fergie time. Fergie time is coming back, baby.
Moyes.
Last minute. Time. Last Moyes minute. 3-2. That's what I think.
West.
Man, I see three goals. I think it's going to be Chelsea 3-2. But a lot of it depends on who's playing up top for us. I really, really hope they give Lukaku the start. And I mean, with him up there, it's a totally different ball game. The yep. hold up game. I mean, we can do the through balls to him. I mean, it's just. I mean, he's raw. That's what. That's apparently that's the knock on him is that he's raw and he's young. But I mean, the guy is talented.
3 goals
and
last
he
season.
Is hungry. And I mean, he played amazingly against. I mean, obviously a lesser Manchester United squad at the end of the last season. But I mean, he's hungry for goal. He's ready to go. Got the service. And I think with him up top, controlling the center backs and with our midfield, I don't think Manchester United can slow our midfield down with him up top.
You have Chelsea winning?
I think it's dependent on Lukaku. It's probably going to be a draw. 2-2 draw. If Lukaku's in, we're probably going to win 3-2, 3-1, something like that.
And Mark, scoreline?
3-2
United. I reserve the right not to say anything.
Oh, whatever.
I think Chelsea will win. But I said Man U would come third in the league, so that kind of proves the point. I think I have Hazard in my fantasy team. I think he's fantastic. I think Mata, if he plays, were fantastic. Whether, obviously, the big talking point is whether Rooney will start. Maybe he'll start. I would say 80% he'll start on the bench. Maybe he'll score. Whether he'll celebrate, I don't know. I think Chelsea will win. Remember, we are at the Londoner on Greenville Avenue. On the Ball Soccer Podcast. That's where you find us on Facebook. At On the Ball Show to find us on Twitter. Mark.
I just want to mention every Wednesday until the World Cup. Next 16 weeks, the Londoner on Wednesday nights is hosting a FIFA tournament. You win the tournament. It's going to be on both PlayStation and Xbox.
I already won.
So you got the $200 in cash that the winner gets or the $100 cash that the runner-up gets or the $50 cash that the third place gets.
And it's
yes,
what
that's
day?
That's every week. If you get second place, you can come back the next week and try for first place. The first place winner gets automatically put into the international tournament for the World Cup. And the grand prize there is tickets to Brazil. So
nice.
Second place down can come back the following week until they win first prize. So
what day?
Wednesday nights, 6 o'clock. 6 o'clock, Wednesday nights at the Londoner on Greenville. PlayStation and Xbox FIFA tournament. Play your ass off. You got to call in to make a reservation. Get your name on the board. Pay the either $20 or $25 application fee.
And that's
it? An entrance fee, yes. That is it. You are in. So ask for Matthew Tate. He's Barry's son. Barry Tate, the owner.
The owner of Londoner. Yep.
Great guys. I want to give a shout out to the wonderful pints that we've each enjoyed, minus the one that I was supposed to get. Thank you, Gio.
Yeah, fucking.
Well, I can tell you one thing, though. I'm down. Wednesday night. I'm not going to work Wednesday night now. I'm going to come here and play FIFA. Because I want to
Do you know
I
how to
win.
Do that? Because I know you don't know how to play the real game.
I have a big mouth and my hands.
Yes, that's
my
what
hands,
he said.
My hand, yeah, I have a big mouth, but my hands are skillful, so don't worry about it.
We'll show up Wednesday nights, every Wednesday.
Every Wednesday. For myself, producer Gio. Thank you, Gio, by the way. Always.
Always amazing, Gio.
Always. Oh, I love you, Gio.
West,
thank you so much, West.
Appreciate
you're
it. You're welcome. I'm always excited to be here and very thankful that you have me on the show.
Oh, absolutely no problem. Do you work on Monday night?
No.
Or Monday afternoon?
Ooh, I...
2 o'clock.
Well,
2 o'clock.
I'm going to figure that out. I'm supposed to be at work, but I'm going to not be at work.
Office meeting. Office meeting.
Let's hope no one hears this.
Yeah. I'm on lunch. Oh, my car broke down. Dang. Stuck on the side of the road.
Mark,
something's going to happen.
Something will happen. Yeah. Mark, thank you so much for coming on the show. I really appreciate it.
I always love being here.
And where are you going to be on Monday afternoon?
Greenville, Londoner.
Greenville, Londoner?
Yes.
Man U, Chelsea?
2 o'clock. Chelsea losing to Manchester United 3-2. 3-2.
I'm calling in.
I can only praise God that you're absolutely right. But for next week, for me, Gio, Mark, West, It's On The Ball Soccer Podcast, live from the Londoner on Greenville, at On The Ball Show, On The Ball Soccer Podcast on Facebook. Find us on iTunes or Podomatic. Review, rate, tell us we're full of shit, tell us we're amazing, everything in between. And we will see you next week. Cheerio.
It's this moment.